Amen. Are you ready for the word of God? Glory to God. Father, we are ready. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Now, today's service is what I will call a didactic service. And what do I mean by that? It's more of a Bible study, an in-depth Bible study. And obviously, we cannot finish. But we will go a long way today. Are you with me? See, the church is God's training ground. Please, are you with me? The church is God's school. It is where you are trained on how to function in the kingdom of God. The church of God is that place where you are trained on how to walk with the Lord, how to participate with God. Because you see, God is not a normal man. He's not a man. He's not the natural being that you can just operate with your normal senses. Are you with me? You need training. Are you following me? You need training. That's why the church is built up by the Lord. Before anything else, the church is for training. See, after me, the church is for training. So if you go to church and you don't learn something new, and you are just told, don't worry, it will be better. It is well. That's great, but that's not enough. Are you with me? There has to be a way to get better. Are you with me? You need to learn about God on how to function in his kingdom and make things better. Because eventually, the kingdom of God will move you forward. Are you with me? It will move you forward with God. You become more relevant to God's plan. And then even in your life on the earth, you become more equipped for excellence. Say after me, I'm ready. So, in this month of June, we've been talking about life in the Spirit or life in the Holy Spirit. And it was an offshoot of what we talked about in the month of May, where we talked about practical faith, that your faith in Christ must be practical. It must produce tangible evidence. Are you with me? And then we talked about so many things, and we got to the point where we said, for your Christian life to have tangible evidence, you must understand how to function with the Holy Ghost. And last week we talked about the value of the Spirit. In that teaching, we call this same Spirit. Were you blessed last week? But this week, we're going to go deeper. On Wednesday, we talked about mingled, building intimacy with the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? But today, I want to talk about something that is controversial in many circles. It's called speaking in tongues. And the title of today's teaching is what? Must I speak in tongues? Is it the must? See, I used to think, at some point, I thought everybody agreed that every Christian should speak in tongues. I thought, until I went out and I began to hear things. And I can't really blame them because I was in that shoe before. Are you with me? There was a point in my own journey where I didn't really like the idea of speaking in tongues. My mom, those days when we have morning devotions, evening devotions actually, once she calls us, I and my brother Enoch, once we come together, she will sing those praise and worship songs and say, let us pray. She will say, maybe we are praying for something. Let's pray that God provides this. And in the split second, she starts saying these things. Once she starts like this, my brother and I will open our eyes and say, mommy has started. And she will be praying in tongues. I will just be looking at her. We'll be looking at ourselves like this. She will open her mouth and say, pray. Even if you cannot pray in tongues, can't you pray in English? We'll say, Father, Lord, oh Lord, you will do it. Father, we ask you because you will do it. After like 4 minutes or 5 minutes, we are like, mama, we are tired. Round up this prayer. Are you with me? But then you guys know my story, how I got born again. I encountered Jesus 2005. And then I got saved. Then I joined what they call foundation school in the church I grew up. We had class one, New Christian Realities, class two, I've forgotten, class three. They talked about the Holy Spirit and tongues. And this man was just pressing my head. All of you will speak in tongues. And so as he prayed for me, I began to hear those tongues inside my head. And I was like, it's not because everybody's speaking in tongues and some syllables have just gathered and entered my head. I don't want to say rubbish, show, but I said, for this man to leave me, let me just say this thing. So I spoke it out. He said, that's it. And me, someone was like, I said, okay. He said, that's it, that's it. But I spoke. And he kept on encouraging me to keep to pray in tongues. Now, as at then, I did not know all I'm going to share with you. I didn't really know all of this. But I just prayed. And I began to notice some things. First of all, I noticed that some weeks after, I was praying in that tongues. And then I heard a voice speak to me from my inside and tell me clearly. Then I just joined the church choir. You are going to be given a solo to take today. So I said, okay, it's fine. There's no problem in hearing a thing. If it happens, it's God. If it's not, if it doesn't happen, it's not God. Are you with me? Let's just be clear about that. And I went for the rehearsal, and lo and behold, our music director, Mrs. Ufo, just walked up. I said, where is Ufoma? That's my native name. So I raised my hand. She was like, stand up. You are taking the solo tomorrow. And for everybody, it was just a normal day. But me, I said, hey! They were like, why are you shouting? Ah, is he a strange thing? But I was like, I heard the Lord speak to me. And what the Lord said happened. Ah, I think I have climbed a step higher. And from then, I began to hear more things. And from then, something else happened. I've told you that story before. Preaching in my school. I began to preach in the secondary school. And then preaching one of those days, this girl just fell under the anointing. And then began to move on the ground, and the stuff in her, the demon in her began to shout, you will not let us rest. Every time you will pray in the night, this boy, you will not let us rest. We will kill this girl here. And out of fear, I began to pray in tongues. You know that kind of praying in tongues? Oh God, if we don't do it. And then I was taught by the Spirit. He said, stop that thing you are saying. This is how you torment us. Are you hear what I'm saying? I was like, oh, so I'm tormenting you. So let's go on. By the end of that day, I knew that truly I received something. And then I entered the scriptures and I began to study. I had the experience first before the study. But you see, in this generation, you need to explain. Are you with me? Please, are you ready for today? Are you ready for today? First of all, I want to ask you, do you believe the word of God? If God says something, does it mean anything to you? I'm not hearing your responses. If God says something, does it carry weight to you? It should. It should carry weight to you. When you open a text of the Bible, it should mean something to you. God doesn't just throw words anyhow. Are you with me? There are so many reasons why you cannot throw his word anyhow. When you are in the position of God, even if you want to lie, your lie becomes the new truth. So you don't throw words anyhow. So when something is clearly written in the Bible, see, there is a reason why it's called a sacred text. This holy Bible. Today is not the day to show you why to trust the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So he's saying, that's 2 Timothy 3 from verse 16 to 17. He's saying that every text of the scripture is profitable for doctrine. Now, look at that verse 16. Please, put on your thinking cap today and don't be bored. Amen. Amen. Are we together? Look at that first phrase. It says what? All scripture. Except for me, all scripture. That means there is no part you say, okay, I just ignore. This one is not for me. This one is for me. It says all scripture. So you have to look at everything. To get doctrine, you have to look at everything. You have to examine everything. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or the child of God or the student of God or the disciple may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So even in the subject of speaking in tongues, the word of God can give us doctrine. Are you with me? No, I'm saying this to lay a foundation so that when we go into the Bible, you'll be able to separate opinions from the word of God. This is very important. Let me tell you, this is about the Christian faith, is if you are not properly discipled, you may live and die and say Christianity is boring, Christianity is this, God is like this. There are many questions you will be having. Are you with me? Please, are you with me? That's why God calls people like us and sends us, put us under pressure. You must preach the Bible. You must preach. So, journey with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 1 says, concerning spiritual gifts, I will not have you ignorant. So, God doesn't want you to be ignorant about spiritual things. Why is this important? There are some people that, when it comes to spiritual things, they believe, you cannot explain spiritual things. So, I ask somebody, when do you speak in tongues? When God moved me. When did he move me? I don't know what's happening. Hey, it's taking over me. He said, I cannot explain it. I know there are things you cannot explain, but there are things the Bible have explained. Are you with me? People believe that if it's spiritual things, you don't know how God works. So, no, if the Lord works in a mysterious way, the Lord works in a mysterious way. Anybody can just meet them on the road and tell them something about themselves and this is correct. See, you must be trained to function well with the things of the Spirit. Are you with me? So God doesn't want us to be ignorant about spiritual things. Another reason why you must teach about spiritual things is because your knowledge, listen to this, your knowledge determines your experience. Hey. Or let me put it like this. Your knowledge determines the limit of your experience. Especially with the things of the Spirit. Your knowledge can determine the limit of your experience. Have you seen that verse of the Bible in 1 Corinthians 14 from verse 32? It says, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Although in the context of that chapter, he was saying that the prophet can control the way his spirit is moving. Are you with me? But a deeper study can also show you that when he says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, he's saying that the spirit of the prophet will be subject to the kind of person the prophet is. Let me say that again. It also means that the spirit of the prophet will be subject to the kind of person the prophet is. So let me give you an example. Have you ever seen those prophets who... I want to use a vulgar example, please. We are family, right? We are family. Have you seen or heard of those wonderful men of God who will tell a lady that, okay, for you to believe that, I will sleep with you first. Have you ever seen like that before? Or they will put some concussions. They believe that if you don't take this concussion and that concussion, you cannot be free. Have you seen things like that? Please, are you with me? Listen to me. I'm trying to help you. God sent me. Listen. Some of them are false prophets. Some of them are actually true prophets who have not been taught right. And so their spirit is subject to what they understand. Are you getting me? They have not been taught properly how God functions. So, even though they are gifted and they are anointed and they are blessed in their spirit is subject to the prophet. So, there are some of them that believe that if there is no water and bell, you will not be healed. They believe the power is in the water. Are you with me? So, the mindset of that prophet is... So, you will now see that kind of person. The Holy Ghost will only flow with him when there is water and bell. Are you getting this? It's only when there is bell and water that he will function with the anointing. Without that bell and water, the Holy Ghost is short because that is how he is. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So let me tell you, if you have a wrong mindset about tongues, you will struggle with tongues. Your spirit will be subject to who you are about tongues. Are you following me? If you have the wrong teaching about the way God deals with you, you know some people believe that God uses problem to deal with them when they mess up. And before you know what is happening, the devil will manipulate their theology to make sure their experience matches up to what they believe. Listen, oh, please pay attention. Say after me, I will take the word of God serious. Sometimes, the reason why people have not even got to some certain level in their work with God, God knows that they have not been trained for that level. If they get there, they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. Nobody has taught them. They've never been taught, okay, when you are here, what do you do? What do you do when this is happening? What do you do when this is happening? They've not been taught. So he says, concerning the spirituals, I will not have you ignorant. So after me, I'm ready. So number one, speaking in tongues, is it a doctrine of the Pentecostals or the Orthodox churches? Because some people say that speaking in tongues is not for every Christian because it's a doctrine of the Charismatics and the Pentecostals. That we are Orthodox. Have you heard things like that before? Or simple with that kind of demeanor. We are Orthodox churches. We don't do speaking in tongues. We just do, onward Christian soldiers. Marching on to God, looking unto Jesus, who is gone before. Hail Mary, Mother of God, Sacramento, you pray for us. And when you are done, now, and they feel like, okay, those are the Orthodox churches. Then the Pentecostal Charismatic Church, Jesus, hey, if you're always scattered. Who saw that video online? As somebody was singing in church, and he was singing, give me the ginger, give me the zah, give me the... And he said, okay, somebody now put in the comment, look at the Pentecostal churches. He said, those ones are the Pentecostal, these ones are the Orthodox. Is that what the Bible teaches? Orthodox simply means adhering to the creed of faith as taught by the Bible. Please, are you with me? That is what it means to be Orthodox. That means, on a basic level, every Christian ought to be Orthodox. Are we together? Orthodoxy means adhering to the creed of faith, to the method, from where they got Methodist Church, to the method prescribed by the scripture. Please, are you with me? And so, if we are following the creed of faith in the Bible, or the method of the Bible, it will mean we'll be Pentecostal. Because what does it mean to be Pentecostal or charismatic? To be Pentecostal or charismatic means to believe in the work and power of the Holy Spirit. So the Bible teaches that we should believe in the work and power of the Holy Spirit. So if we are Orthodox, we should be Pentecostal. If we are Orthodox, we should be charismatic. It's not, oh, I am not Orthodox, I am charismatic. You are charismatic, you are not Orthodox. No, if you are Orthodox, you will be charismatic. Please, are you with me? Number two, on this subject of must I speak in tongues or must every Christian speak in tongues? The subject of tongues was not introduced by a man but by Jesus. Jesus was the one that introduced that subject. You know, people say Jesus is not speaking in tongues, but Jesus said he will speak in tongues. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Don't worry, I know you have plenty of questions. You know what I actually planned to do when I was thinking about this service? I planned to just come without notes, just sit down with a chair, tell everybody, write your questions. But that will make the service maybe like 4 hours. So I will take what we can take today. We'll pray. We'll continue next week. Is that fine? Say after me, I'm blessed. Mark 16, verse 15 to 18. The Bible says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Pay attention. Let's go verse 17 again. 1, 2, 3, go. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. That's the place to shout glory. Shout it louder. Glory! Verse 17. Verse 18. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. See, remember I said you don't take the word of God lightly. You cannot see a text like this and just say, no, it's not for me. Oh, you know, Jesus was just... Jesus actually said these things before he ascended. It was some of the last statements he made. Look at the next verse. That should be verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Everybody, verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, confirming the word with signs following. What were the signs? And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. So, that means according to Jesus, hey God, according to Jesus in this text, if you are a Christian, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and you go to heaven, and they ask you, are you a Christian? Do you believe in Jesus? Yes. Have you cast out the devil before? No. Really? And that angel says, have you cast out the devil before? I said, well, am I supposed to be casting out devils? Ew. How come? He says, and this sign shall follow them that believe. So he asks you, did you believe? I believed. Why didn't you cast out devil? Well, I didn't think casting out devils was for me. I'm an Orthodox Christian. So, do you believe? Now, I'm not asking you, the angel will say, I'm not asking you whether you're Orthodox or charismatic. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes. These signs ought to follow you. Say after me, these signs follow me. Say it again, these signs follow me. He says, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? Hey, they shall cast out devils. Say after me, I cast out devils. Then he says, they shall speak with new tongues. Now, somebody says, oh, pastor, don't be, you are too quick. That's how you are using to just support your claim. New tongue can mean that if you're saying bad things before, it's no longer saying bad things. Everything he said on that list will happen supernaturally. You cannot just tell me a change of the words you say naturally is what Jesus was trying to refer to. Are you getting me? It cannot be something a natural man can do on his own. Are you getting this? For it to be a sign that followed people that believe in Jesus, it cannot be something that a natural man would do on his own. Are you getting this? So Jesus said, if you believe in him, you will cast out devils, you will speak with new tongues. And even if you're not speaking in tongues, everybody see after me right now, I speak with tongues because I believe. Say it again, I speak with tongues. I speak in tongues because I believe. It should get you thinking that Jesus said these signs are fully never that believe. It's an integral supernatural sign. One of the supernatural signs that follow the believers is this. And it eventually happened in Acts chapter 2. Let's open to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 from verse 1 to 4. Let me tell you something. Do you know why this thing is dear to me? Why teachings like this are dear to me? Very personal to me. One of the biggest needs, in my opinion, one of the biggest needs of the church today is understanding the Bible. Who will teach the believers the Bible? Many of you have been Christians for years. There are parts of the Bible you used to jump. So when you read, you understand. You all leave it alone. I'm over. So you'll be reading. You'll be reading. Anywhere the Holy Ghost speaks to you from. That's what it is. Eh? Can God speak to you? Yes. But you must be taught how God speaks to you from the Bible. If not, That's the birthplace of false doctrine.
Praise the Lord.
Acts chapter 2 from verse 1. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Verse 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. If you are conversant with Bible stories, you should have heard about the story, right? And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So, Jesus told them, I'm ascending. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost to you. Just tarry in Jerusalem till he comes. And so the Holy Ghost came. And when the Holy Ghost came, the Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, let's define tongues. What then is speaking in tongues? See, if your neighbor is sleeping, wake them up. There's a reason I'm doing it like this. Because people say, speaking in tongues is that thing that God does when you go to preach in a place that they don't understand, you don't know their language. So the Holy Ghost will come upon you and you start speaking Spanish. Swing, 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 swing. Or you go and start speaking. When you go to preach in maybe a Akwa Ibom, the Lord just comes upon you and you just say, Abadie. Then before you know, you reply, Idiom 4. He says, can God do that? Yes. Is that speaking in tongues? Let's check. Please, are you with me? Yes, shout glory. I know some people are not used to this kind of teaching. They are not used to opening Bible. The pastor will just say, right now, I decree and declare, it's your time. Receive it in Jesus' name. Do I do that? Emphatically, yes. See, I have that grace. Today is not the day for testimonies. Many of you have, you know what I'm talking about, right? But there are days where we see today. What is inside here? Praise the Lord. What is speaking in tongues? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. The Bible says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. That means, keep that scripture there. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men. That means if you spoke in something and a man can naturally understand you, it's not tongues. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. If men can understand you, it's not tongues. It can be a language, but it's not speaking in tongues according to the teaching of the Bible. Hi. This is apostolic teaching. Apostle Paul is the one teaching here. How be it in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. Glory. How be it in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. So what is tongues? Tongues is an inspired language that cannot be understood naturally. It sounds like rubbish or gibberish to a natural man. Tongues. You know, people say, oh, the tongues they are speaking now, they are yours. Calm down. Let's go and study the Bible. Are you with me? Tongues is an inspired language or a supernatural language that cannot be understood naturally. It sounds like gibberish or rubbish to a natural man. Also, I want to say, this year, speaking in tongues is the same thing as praying in the spirit. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Are you with me? If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. And it says in verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with understanding also. So that means from the above submissions, tongues should sound like gibberish to a natural man. It should sound like rubbish to a natural man. And so there are some opinions of tongues that need to be corrected. The Bible did not say you use tongues for evangelism. That's not what he said. Because he said you are speaking to God, not to men. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Are you getting this? So tongues is not, you say, oh, speaking in tongues is when you go to somewhere, somehow God moves on you and you begin to speak in. Does God do it? Yes. In fact, in contemporary history, when Pa Elton came to Boko to preach, the mission, one of the first major missionaries that came to Nigeria, Pa Sidney Grandison Elton, he's the one that discipled Benson Idahosa and began what he called the charismatic movement in Nigeria. When he went to Boko to preach, he didn't have his interpreter was supposed to be around, but his interpreter went for a government function and slid him. And so he said he would preach in English, and the people did not understand English. He's from England. They are Otupo people. He climbed the stage, and the Lord came on him, and he spoke clear Idoma for 1 hour straight. Is that speaking in tongues? No. What is that? Diverse kinds of tongues is a gift of the Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Follow me, oh. Someone said, I should not leave. Don't leave me. Number two, you know, I want to say this here. Let me just drop this thought. If you say speaking in tongues is the language of natural men, why will you need a gift of interpretation of tongues to understand something that you can consult a natural man for? Are you following this? Because if you study 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there is a gift called the gift of interpretation of tongues. Why will you need the Holy Spirit to empower you to interpret something that if you can just find the language and act on a natural man, you'll get the answer? Are you with me? Now, with all I've said, that means we need to go and reinvestigate what happened in Acts chapter 2. We need to reinvestigate what happened in Acts chapter 2. Because people say, the tongues of these days is not the tongues that they spoke in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, everybody was hearing their language. This one we are speaking, like, adabadabada, what are they saying? They're just speaking rubbish. I've come to discover that one of the simple secrets to flow with God is this. You must have a heart of humility. You must be able to tell yourself, even though I know, I don't know as much as I ought to know. There is more. Some people have never heard the Bible explained like this before. Not because I am a better teacher. It's just that God will always make sure that before you pass through this earth completely, you must hear the truth. If you are seeking for the truth, God will ensure that you will hear it. So that you will eventually decide. So what happened in Acts chapter 2? Let's go back. Let's read Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 from verse 1. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Can we read with me? Verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at that word. They were all what? All, right? And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Verse 6. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own. Read it again. Every man heard them speak in his own language. Verse 7. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we are born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and in Cappadocia, and in Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, and Egypt, and in the parts of Libya, and about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome. They were all hearing these languages. They were there and hearing these languages. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues. So they were hearing those men speak in their own native dialect, the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what means this? Verse 13, this is very important. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. That's a sermon of his own. These men are full of new wine. That means for them to say these men are full of new wine, there were traits of being drunk around the men. Are you with me? There were notable traits of drunkenness around those men. So when they observed, they said, these men are full of new wine. But others said, no, there's something more happening here. So let's analyze what's going on here. How can... Most of us have gone through primary school and secondary school. You know when everybody's making noise in the class. Imagine you are standing outside. How does it sound? You can't hear any specific thing they are saying. And it may just be 30 or 40 in the class. And you are outside. People are just, hey, are you stupid? I will not get out there. You know? Oh, it's no issue. No, they're just playing and making noise. And you are outside and you cannot even pick one thing that they are saying. Now, 120 people are praying somewhere up. And people are downstairs. The people that are from Mesopotamia say it's our language they are speaking. The people from Libya say it's our own they are speaking. The people from... are you following what is happening here? The ones from Egypt are saying it's our language they are speaking. The patterns are saying, no, it's our own language they are speaking. How is that possible? That means there is more to the Acts 2 account than just saying that's how tongues supposed to be. Are you getting this? So, with closer look at this, it is either they spoke languages, and if they spoke the languages, how did they hear it? How can all the people be speaking? Are you following me? But the Bible says they spoke in tongues and the people heard their languages. He did not say they spoke in their languages. Let me leave you alone. So what happened was that the disciples spoke supernaturally, but God made the hearers to hear each one their own language. It's like a reverse of what happened in Genesis 11 when they were building the Tower of Babel. And they were building that tower to get to heaven. And at the point, God said, I'm going to confound their language. So, the people thought they were communicating to each other, but the person hearing was hearing something else. That was how the work stopped. Are you following me? It was like a reverse of what God did in Acts chapter 2. As the disciples are speaking, are you getting this? Personalizing it to each one of the people that came around. That means Acts chapter 2 cannot be used as the apostolic template of speaking in tongues. There was more that happened there. Please, are you with me? Are you with me? There was more that happened there. God did a miracle. And if you check very well, what happened was simply God reenacting his faithfulness to the house of Israel. If you study the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 19, when they came to the mountain, the Bible says, and the Lord turned out from the mountain. But as the Lord turned out from the mountain, everyone that gathered heard the Lord in their own language. And the people sinned against God on that mountain and 3,000 people died. That was what happened when Moses was trying to enact the covenant with God and the people were rebellious. But in Acts chapter 2, 3,000 people were saved exactly. It was God saying a new covenant has come. Not a covenant of condemnation, but the covenant of life. Okay, let's move on. Praise the Lord. So, Pastor, is speaking in tongues for everyone or for every Christian? According to the scripture, yes. Yes. Because some people say, it's not my gift. I am gifted, but I don't speak in tongues. My own gift, I dream. God shows me things in the dream. That's my own gift. But me, I don't speak in tongues.
Can I shock you? Even the dreams and visions, the Bible says in the book of Joel, and in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall see visions. They shall dream dreams. Even the dreams was for everybody. Please, are you with me? He says, everyone, you will dream dreams. You will see visions because of the Spirit. So, why do we say speaking in tongues is for everyone? Number one, Jesus said it's for everyone. He says, everyone that believe. That's where we started from, right? And this is for them that believe in my name, they shall speak with new tongues. For everyone that believed. Number two, everywhere people spoke in tongues after the Holy Ghost came in Acts chapter 2, it was everybody that spoke. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says there were 120 people in the upper room. That was a very good place to show if it is not for everybody, but it's for everybody. Please, are you with me? We are doing Bible thinking here. It's Bible. We are going through the scriptures. The Holy Ghost should have just come and said, right now I am here. Where is Peter? Come out. Stand here. Where is John? Come out. Stand here. Where is Mary? You are the mother of Jesus. You are chosen. Stand here. These are the three that will speak in tongues. So now, receive. All the others, if I catch you speaking in tongues, what I will do to you here, you will not forget. Am I clear? So that is the ordinance we have set for the church. It begins. Is that what happened? 120 people. If it was not for everybody, that was a good place to show it's not for everybody. 120 people together, and they all spoke in tongues. And you say it's not for you. You know, people think that Christianity is like going to a buffet. It's okay, I will take rice, chicken, I won't take sausage. I will take spaghetti and coleslaw. No, I will not take plantain. I'll take moi. The thing that's how Christianity is, okay, I will take this one. No. Christianity is, you come, there is only one food. And you must. That's the food all of us eat. Are you with me? Now, am I saying that God doesn't have dealings with us? He has specific dealings with us, but there are things that are for everybody. And he made it clear, the ones that is for everybody, the ones that are for special people. 1 Corinthians 12, you will see him say, okay, this gives of the Spirit, it manifests with different people according to the will of God. Are you with me? But this one, Jesus said, they shall all speak in tongues. Guess what? If you study Mark chapter 16, where he says, and this time shall follow them that believe, in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. If they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. If they take any deadly thing, it will not harm them. Do you realize that if you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you have read the Bible, read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there is no special gift called the gift of casting out devils. There is no special gift of if you drink any deadly thing, it will not harm you. Please, are you with me? It was for everybody. Say after me, everybody. So, in Acts chapter 2, it was everybody. Acts chapter 10 in Cornelius' house. Chapter 44 from verse 2. Chapter 10, verse 44 to 46. The Bible says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them. Now, take note of that word. The Holy Ghost, that phrase, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Verse 45. And they which of the circumcision which believed were astonished, because they didn't want it to be for everybody. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So, the Holy Ghost came, it was for everybody. Acts 19 verse 6. The disciples in Ephesus. Acts 19 verse 6. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them and they speak with tongues and prophesied. There was nowhere where the Holy Ghost came on them and some spoke in tongues and some did not speak in tongues. Are you getting this? Okay. And number three reason why we say tongues is for every Christian is because speaking in tongues was one of the first signs of the infilling of the Holy Spirit according to the Bible. Jesus told them, the Holy Spirit is coming. You cannot claim to believe in the Holy Spirit and reject speaking in tongues. Because that was the first sign of his coming. Please, are you with me? You know, I'm not just teaching this thing to push my personal opinion down your throat. I'm going to get soon to the blessings of speaking in tongues. You will see why it's important. You will see why it's so important. It's one of the first signs of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So now, look at, we've read Acts chapter 2 verse 4. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It's even an experience that the apostles of Jesus, can we put Acts chapter 2 verse 4 on the screen? So this was when the Holy Ghost came first upon the 120 disciples. Everybody read with me. 1, 2, 3, go! And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, if you receive the Holy Ghost, you ought to speak with other tongues. The Holy Ghost gives you utterance, but you are going to speak. Amen. I would have answered that question, but let me just bring it now. So, Pastor, I want God to just move my mouth. No, the Holy Ghost will stir you. You are the one to give voice to the stirring. Remember, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophets. You can be stirred and no, not. Some people, they are even scared. When we are praying and you say speak in tongues, they're like, I don't want to speak in tongues. I don't know how, like how it makes me feel. I feel like I will just fall. Fall. Let all the work of Satan fall out from your life. Fall. Say, I don't like the way he's just taking over me. Let God take over you. Let God take over you. Tell your neighbor, let God take over you. Amen. In God's kingdom, people that fall under his glory do not fall in life. Yes. Oh, God. Well, so it is an experience that the apostles of Jesus considered mandatory. Hey, look at Acts chapter 8, verse 14. This was one of the verses that the text that made me know I must teach this thing. Because every time I teach it, this is the response I get. Because people who are new to it, what is plenty teaching? We will teach it. We will teach it so that you will become a solid believer. Acts chapter 8, verse 14. It says, now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John, who, when they came down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. It's just like quality assurance. Okay, disciples are there. They are new disciples. Okay, Peter and John, go and check. Do they have Holy Ghost? They say they are believers. Do they have Holy Ghost? If they say no, lay hands on them. They must. It's just like when you take maybe your Bonvita or your beverage, milk or something. Most companies have a seal, like a stamp on it, that if you don't see the seal, it is fake. Look at the apostles. Okay, they are believers there. Go and check. Do they have the Holy Ghost? We don't know. Have they spoken in tongues? Lay hands on them. Lay hands on them. They must receive. If they are believers. Are you with me? Let me tell you why I believe they did this. See, it's my opinion. If you have not started speaking in tongues, there are many things you will not know. See, Christianity is not just a set of rules. It's not just you trying to keep rules. It's a regulator in your spirits. There must be a point where you enter into the spirit of the message. There is the message of Christ, though, but there is a point where you are immersed, as it were. Put 1 Corinthians 12 verse 13. I didn't plan to say this, but I will say it now. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 13. You will see that there are two experiences that the Christian must have. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 13. For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. So now, there are people who have been baptized into Christ. They are born again, or they are there, but they are not drinking. They have never had the experience where they drank and became filled. It's just like you put a bottle inside a big jar of bucket of water. Now, the bottle has entered. But if the bottle is closed, you can press that bottle inside there and the water will not find its way inside that bottle. The bottle may be inside the water, but the water has not entered.
But when you open up that bottle and put it inside, the water that is not just the water in the bucket is not just around the bottle now. The water begins to enter. And when that bottle is full, you begin to hear pop, 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 pop. I'm just using an analogy to explain to you. When you come into Christ, after you have believed in Jesus, you're supposed to have an experience where the Holy Ghost fills you up higher. So much that your tongues begin to change. Soon you begin to brak. People will say you are drunk. Patakapa. Zeketepelentekepa. After a while, you are different. See, if you don't have this experience, I like that phrase they used in Acts chapter 2. They say, these men are full of new wine. You know, when a man is drunk with wine, he sees things differently. So, other people are just, they are walking around, they are seeing challenges, but when a man is drunk with wine, everywhere there is road. Kapataya. You can't go there. I'm seeing a bridge there. Guy. You know, he's under a new wine, a different influence. When last in your Christian experience, were you stirred up like that, you begin to flow with the realm of the Spirit. I see what God is seeing. See, as a Christian, if people have not called you weird once, you are fake. If they have not said this, are you okay? If you have not had an experience where human beings are looking at you and say, you are not with us, you have not really entered it. Because look at Jesus. At the point they called him a wine babbler. The Jesus you are following, you know, they said these men have turned the world upside down. That is the reason why we have too many churchgoers and few Christians with power. Many of them have not really entered. They've not drank. Do you know how many times I go for evangelism? I preach to people, are you born again? Yes, I'm born again. I believe in Jesus. Have you spoken in tongues? Must I speak in tongues? Who knows what I'm talking about? Must I speak in tongues? See, if you're not speaking in tongues, you have not entered this thing. You have not entered the geze. You've not entered. So let me tell you the blessings of speaking in tongues. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Some of the blessings of speaking in tongues. Number one, deep, intimate communication with God. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. It says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. So it's like an encrypted communication. Tech people don't understand what I'm saying, right? An encrypted communication. For instance, if I'm praying now and say, oh God, I need a car. Oh God, give me money. I want to buy a golden mode for my daughter. You understand what I'm saying? You can decipher my prayer. But when I'm praying and I'm back at Alabaraka Sekete, you don't even know what I'm saying to God. I and God can have a kind of communication that is encoded. And sometimes your spirit is trying to say things to God that your mind cannot articulate. You think God speaks English? Of course, he understands English because he created you. But you see, many times there is a frequency you must be on to really tap into what he's saying and what you are telling him. Yes. A deep communication. Sometimes, have you not been in places where your spirit is trying to cry? Have you been there before? You can feel something within you trying to just cry. You don't even know what you are bothered about. But throughout the whole week, you are just bothered. You are just, give your spirit expression. Let it cry. Let it cry to God. In a language that God will understand. These tongues matter. I have checked the Bible. There are patches of it everywhere. Do you remember when Hagar, the servant lady of Sarah, was sent into the wilderness? And the water ran out in the wilderness. And Hagar, the child was actually Ishmael. And Hagar could not stand watching her child die because there was no water in the desert. So she threw the child somewhere to cry and die there, and she put her face somewhere else. The Bible says while she was there thinking about her life and how everything will end, the angel of the Lord came to her and said, Hagar, look to the south. I have made a well for you to save you and your son because I heard the prayer of the baby. What did the baby say?
What did the baby say? Every time I read that verse, the baby was not praying in articulate words, but the Bible is saying that it was not the prayer of Hagar the head. It was the prayer of the baby. You are limiting yourself if you are not praying in tongues. Number two, when you pray in the spirit, you are praying God's perfect will. 1 Corinthians 14:14, it says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. So you are praying in God's perfect will. Let me show you something. Romans 8:26. Now, I want to say something here. Even if you are here and you have been speaking in tongues, you need this teaching. You know, I've been teaching this thing for many years. But studying it again this week, I stumbled upon a material where Kenneth Hagin was talking about this. Romans 8:26. He says, likewise, please, can we read Romans 8:26 together? 1, 2, 3, go. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself, better put himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, some years ago, I concluded that this verse is not speaking in tongues. That this verse talks about groanings. And people who pray, we know what I'm talking about. Where you are just under pressure to groan and you are just crying. You're not even praying out anything, but you are just crying. You know, these days, this generation, we have been so distracted that there are so many spiritual treasures that are lost. When last 3 years, a Christian said, I was in the bus and something came on me to pray. A mantle of the Spirit came on me and I began to cry. Well, let's move on. Go back there. So, I stumbled on a material and Ken Hagin was referring to a theologian, P.C. Nelson. He said, if you check this thing in the Greek, where he says, itself, the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered in articulate language. That's what you would direct translation from the Greek. Which cannot be uttered in articulate language. So, the theologian P.C. Nelson says that speaking in tongues is under these groanings, but it's not all about the groanings. It's not the only thing that the groanings do, but in the groaning, there is speaking in tongues also. Please, are you with me? Are you with me? So, he says, we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. You don't know what you should pray for as you ought. To you, you are praying, you know, years ago, there was a lady in our Port Harcourt church. I don't know if you know about this nursing exam that they write to go abroad. There's an exam that nurses write, a professional exam that if you pass that exam, you will get a scholarship to the United Kingdom. And so, she came to meet me to say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to write this exam and leave this country. I prayed for her. She will go, it will bounce. She will teach people, they will all pass and go. She, it will not work. It kept happening for about 5 years. One day I called and said, sit down. Are you sure there is God? God is trying to tell you something that you are not hearing. Say, Pastor, I don't want to hear what God is saying. I said, hey. I said, I just want to leave this country. I just want to write this exam and leave this country. I said, listen to me. I'm your pastor. I said, let's go and pray again. And you will not write this exam again. Say, Pastor, now, I said, don't write this exam again. Let's pray. So we began to pray in the spirit. As I prayed in the spirit, the Lord began to press on me. He said, I need to settle her first before she goes. So I said, the Lord says he wants to settle you. Say, Pastor, leave me. Wait, what? I don't want to. Leave me and settle me. Not too long from then. This, I don't do this every time, but it happened. In our case, I had a vision. I saw a guy. I described the guy head to toe. I said, this guy that I described, his fair in complexion, this is his height. This is his side beard. This is how he will look. This is how his nose is. He's your husband. She was like, ha! Pastor! See, I said, don't worry. 2 months later, she walked in my office with that guy. She said, Pastor, I just wanted to say, you are a man of God, though. You are a man of God. She was just talking like that. You are head to toe. Is the exact person. And so I said, okay. They got married. They had a child. One day, the young man came to see me. I prayed for him. And while praying for him, the Lord showed me that you are going to have an open door shortly. that will change everything. And he said, amen. I thought somebody would say amen too. And about 2 months after, he met me. He said, Pastor, I saw an opening our company website for a job in Lincoln in the United Kingdom. I applied. I have been trying to get it for the past 7 years. I just got it. They have left this country. They left last week. When she was leaving, I said, so now, what do you prefer? The UK, you are trying to go by nursing. And this one said, Pastor, I prefer this one. No. This, I prefer this one. Everything she had been praying about, it came. What I'm trying to tell you is, even your prayer points can be wrong. Even what you think, I need to get this job. Lord, I need to get this. I need to get this. Your prayer points can be wrong. He says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Are you getting this? The way life is, there are some deep details that if the Holy Ghost does not help you pray, you'll be praying amiss. Your prayer will be misfiring. Every power in my mother's house, it may be your father's house. Every power in my mother's house, every power. That boss that wants to frustrate me, that boss, Lord, remove him. He may be the one God wants to use to help you. He may just have a bad character. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Holy Ghost knows all things. All things are naked before him. So when you pray in tongues, makapalata, it's okay now. Move it here. Atakapalata soketelia randa gabada. When you would have entered the office to submit the proposal, the wicked man that would have fought you against you, he would just step out. Lekete pelekete. When you enter, you now meet the right person. Say, please submit what you want to submit. For we know not what you do pray for as we ought, but the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. So man is laden with infirmities. There are many things you don't know. It's called our infirmities. We can be weak. We can be We can be wrong. Do you know that in life, you can do everything right and still miss it? Because you have infirmities. There are many things you don't understand. The twists and turns of life, you don't understand. I've been around for a while. There are things you will hear. You'll be wondering what happened. For the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the Holy Ghost is praying through you, but with you. Are you with me? The Holy Ghost is doing the groaning inside, but you are the one that is giving it expression. Verse 27. Everybody, verse 27. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. No time to talk about this. Because there's another level of prayer that speaking in tongues opens you up. It's called intercession. When you are praying in tongues, selfishness is removed because you don't know what you are praying about. Selfishness is removed. Are you with me? He maketh intercession according to the will of God. Lord, I want to pray in your will. Lord, show me your will. Oh, you are praying in tongues. Are you learning something today? After me, I'm blessed. And finally, for today, there's so much, but we have to just wrap it up here. When you pray in tongues, you edify yourself. Spiritual edification. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. He says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Say after me, edifieth himself. I want your voice to resound in this room. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue does what? You know what? Everybody read this verse. 1, 2, 3, go with a loud voice. Edifieth himself. But he that prophesied edify the church. So, what does it mean to edify? To edify means to build up. It means to build up like an edifice. Are you with me? It means to strengthen. It means to charge. Are you with me? It means to embolden. To charge up. To embolden.
To edify. That's what it means. So he that speaks in an unknown tongue builds up himself. He charges up himself. That's why those of you who have prayed in the spirit or you pray in tongues, you know how you feel after a while. After 30 minutes, you are charging. You are charging. Jude chapter 1 verse 20. 1 to 3 go. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. When last did you build up yourself? Let me say some other things as I round up. Speaking in tongues is the only gift of the Spirit that God gave your will to control. It is the only gift of the Spirit that it is by your will. The others, even if I pray for the sick, I can pray, but I cannot determine if the person will be healed or not. Please, are you with me? All the other ones, like the case of the one I showed you where I had the vision, I've been in cases where people hear that Pastor David sees. Then one day somebody just came to my front and said, Pastor, I heard I used to see. Oh yeah, see for me. And the person like this, see, just scan me. I said, it's not like that though. If the Holy Ghost does not show me anything, I will not see. As I'm seeing you, I'm seeing that you are tall, you are using dreadlocks, you are fair in complexion. That's all I'm seeing. It does not open my spirit to see. I can't see. But you see, speaking in tongues, you can start it at will. See, and it is important because there has to be a way. There has to be a way in our spiritual pilgrim that you can control the power. Check any superhero movie. In everywhere power is, there must be a way to start and stop power. There must be a way to start and stop power. Salvation belongs to the one who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. There must be a protocol of activating power. There must be a protocol. And thank God for the way the Bible is written. The Bible gives us types and shadows. Do you remember Samson? Samson in the Old Testament. The Bible says the power was in his hair, right? But there was something else about Samson's power we did not find out until when he was about to die. Jude chapter 16 verse 20. Let me show you. Jude 16 verse 20 says that was when Delilah had cut his hair. Who knows that story? You know the story, raise your hand. And Delilah said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and said, please everybody, can we read from and said? And said, I will go out as at other times and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. So when the hair was cut, the Lord had left him. But there was a method he used to activate the power, even though the power was in his head. That's what I'm trying to show you. So he knew that, okay, as a man of power, there must be a protocol to control power. The power is in my hair, but if I want to stir it up, I shake myself. Oh my God. That means as a Christian, you face a challenge. Challenges are coming. It's time to shake yourself. I wish. So, you you go to the hospital. The doctor says, see what they are saying about you. See you your doctor's report. You say, okay, I have seen. I will go and shake myself. Then you wake up in the night. Rakapateka, mendokopa, ratapandekepe, likopalatalia kapa. As you are doing that, you are activating power. Are you with me? A time now comes where your power matches the situation and crushes it. Jump on your feet. If you can pray in tongues, yeah, please pray. If you cannot pray and you are desirous of what I'm saying, just begin to talk to the Lord right now. Say, Lord, please fill me. Kalaparagado sheketeli.
Salvation belongs to the one who sits on